You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Shelter Church. It's good to be with you guys today. How many of you out there are people? Like, you like people? People? Well, we got a lot today. Like, first service was like three people. You guys are like everybody, which means you're my people because I like people too. So how many of you have to live with people? Like, how many of you have? That changes everything, does it not? Everything. There are wonderful people in my life who I would not dare to live with, okay? And in college, I was like a resident assistant. So you would see all these people come in, you know, they're skipping into college first day of freshman year, and they've got, you know, their arm around their buddy or their bestie, and they're like, we're best friends, we do everything together. And they would live together, or they'd be like, yeah, bro, we live together, we go to class together, we do everything together, you know, whatever stereotype you want to play into. And they would come in, best friends. And then by like the end of the first semester, they're nefarious enemies. Just because when you live with people, you realize all of these, and when you live with people, you realize there are all these weird, quirky, annoying things about yourself that you didn't know existed. You're like, what do you mean everyone doesn't do this with, everyone doesn't load the dishwasher like this? What do you mean you don't just leave the dishes in the sink for ages? What do you mean? That's the only way to live. And so it's funny when you live with people how much that stuff comes out. And I had a friend in college who had kind of a more quirky than normal roommate, okay? And what she would do is she would come home from class or just really any time of the day, and she would get a jar, giant jar of whole dill pickles out and munch away on a whole dill pickle any hour of the day. Maybe it's right after breakfast, perfect time for an entire dill pickle. And then, you know, and later on, maybe right before bed, she'd be crunching on one of them. And my friend was always, you know, she was kind of a recluse. She loved to be in her apartment by herself. So she would be in there, and this girl's just chomping away without any care in the world. And so what did she do? What do we always do when we just want to block everything out? She popped in her headphones, right? Right? I do that all the time. And if you ride public transportation especially, or if you're ever on an airplane, you're like, quick, get them in before I hear or see or do anything with anyone else. And it's this defense mechanism against things that are annoying, right? The things that we don't want to deal with. Eventually, she just started leaving her apartment. She never confronted her about it. She just would be like, I don't want to deal with this. And I feel like that's a kind of good story for, or a good picture of what this whole series is going to be about. So we're talking about white noise. And white noise is what we use to, it's a form of sound masking. It's a way that we like can block out the things in reality to distract us or to get us away from the things we don't want to deal with. Okay? It's something that we can use in our life to kind of begin to find some distance between us and the things we don't want to deal with. And one of the things that I do, my white noise, there's many different kinds of it. It's not just white noise itself. But my white noise is a lot of times like music and media and stuff. But how many people in here, how many people use like white noise at night to sleep? Like just a good many of you. Like first service, there was like one person. I was like, oh no, this is a bad question. So thank you for saving me. Thank you all. So when you start doing that, you know, you're kind of like, oh, I just want to sleep better. But eventually it becomes to the point where you can't sleep without it, right? And that's kind of the weird thing, is that the white noise becomes the thing that you need in order to find rest. It becomes the thing you're dependent on. And what's kind of weird or freaky about that, and I had a friend who would take melatonin before he would go to bed, and eventually he couldn't sleep without it. And that's the scary thing, is that not that white noise is bad or necessarily like evil all the time, but whatever we use to kind of distract us from reality, sometimes we begin to like live in that distraction and we don't deal with reality. And sometimes there are things that God wants us to deal with in reality that we are kind of blocking out, and so we're missing what God's trying to speak to us and share with us. And so I'll be real honest and open today. This is how my life rolls, okay? I'm really good at using white noise, okay? I get up, And before I got to work, I have YouTube on, and I'm watching some video on YouTube. And I'm enjoying that. And I hop in my car, and I turn that radio all the way up and blast that music. And I get to work, and I put a podcast in. And then I get home from work, and I'm making dinner. And guess what? My favorite show's got to be on. And then I get in bed at the end of the day, and YouTube's going to just lull me to sleep. And what I do is I just completely cover my life with distraction, cover my life with things so that I don't have to deal with being alone with my thoughts. And because you may not know this, I mean, I sit up here every week, but like I have a lot of insecurities. I have a lot of things that I'm dealing with that I don't want to think about. Okay? Things like, you know, you may hear me joke a little bit about how young I look. I kind of sometimes up here feel like, ooh, like I'm way too young to be talking to all of you like I do. Okay? And I feel really insecure about that. Or just the fact that I don't feel like I'm good enough to do what I do. You ever have those thoughts and feelings? I don't like those. I don't want to deal with them. So oftentimes what helps me to distract me, that white noise, I turn that thing up because I don't really want to face those emotions, those questions, those feelings in my life. And so what I do is I use that white noise to mask that and block that out. And the more dependent you become on that white noise, the further you will go away from dealing with reality or finding that kind of rest that you need from those things or that healing from the things that you're dealing with. And there's nothing that really kind of describes this or defines this more for me than this song that I've come to really love and enjoy. It's by a band named 21 Pilots. Anybody know who 21 Pilots is at all? This super big band, blew up. Kind of, they're from Columbus, two dudes that are making music, and this song blew up, and it really just describes what we're talking about with white noise. And maybe you relate to this, maybe you don't. But this is the line from their song, Car Radio. And he's talking about a time in his life where someone came in and broke in and stole his car radio. What happened after that? And he says this, I hate this car that I'm driving. There's no hiding for me. I'm forced to deal with what I feel. There is no distraction to mask what is real. I could pull the steering wheel. It's deep stuff. And he says, I ponder something terrifying because this time there's no sound to hide behind. I find over the course of our human existence, one thing consists of consistence, and it's that we're all battling fear. Oh dear, I don't know if we know why we're here. Oh my, too deep, please stop thinking. I liked it better when my car had sound. Isn't that really just extremely deep? And maybe that doesn't speak to you like it speaks to me and my generation, but this song has over 230 million views on YouTube. So clearly this kind of, you know, behavior of saying, I need to shut this out. I don't want to deal with these questions I have, these doubts, these fears. It's not just me. It can't be just me if 230 million people relate to the song in some way, you know? And so I think that each of us are dealing with situations in our life, are carrying around super heavy burdens. I don't need to talk to you or convince you of that. You've got your own stuff going on. You have fears and you're dealing with maybe something in your life that is causing you to go, man, I just want to get away from this thing, from this fear, from this circumstance, from this person in my life. And whether it's, you know, a fear about death, like this song talks about, or a fear about, you know, why we are doing the way, or what our purpose is, if it's an existential crisis, or if it's the fear of failure, or if it's feelings of loneliness or bitterness, or maybe it's that grudge that you carry around with you, or maybe it's those relationships that are holding you back. Or maybe it's the person you stabbed in the back and you don't want to deal with them, so you haven't said a word to them since and you've been ignoring them. White noise is whatever we use to distract us from what's really going on. And the danger with that is that we can never really find healing. We can never really find, you know, rest from those kind of fears and anxieties and emotions and circumstances. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like like a 5-hour energy. Have any of you ever tried these? I went to the gas station and I bought one, and the guy was like, "What do these taste like?" I'm like, "I don't know. I've never tried it." So maybe a better one would be like, you know, those Bang drinks or those Rain drinks. I saw you have one. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call you out. But I think that sometimes white noise is like caffeinating ourselves. Because for 5 hours or 4 hours or 3 hours, we feel more rested. We feel more energized. But you know what happens after those few hours? Boom. Crash. Right? And that's a lot like the white noise in our life. It can't really help us find the rest that we need from our circumstances, from our anxieties and emotions. And if we try to rely on the white noise to caffeinate us instead of helping us find rest, we're going to spend, like, we're spinning our wheels in this cycle of anxiety and distraction, or whatever that is in your life. And the truth is that for me, I desperately need real rest in my life. I desperately need real kind of healing from the emotions that I'm dealing with or the things that are going on. And the truth is that the things that I use, no matter how many songs I listen to, how much I turn up that podcast, how much I, you know, distract myself with going to see friends and we're being busy in my life, no matter how much I use that, it's never going to help me deal with the pain or the struggle that I'm dealing with in my heart and in my life. And so the struggle for me is trying to like find that rest. It's trying to find that sort of peace in my life from those things. Because oftentimes I want that real rest, but it's so much easier to just distract myself, right? It's so much easier to just block that out. And what Jesus says oftentimes is very, very comforting to me in Matthew 11, 28. This is what Jesus says. It says this: "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And if that comforts you today, I want that to just wash over you. Let that like soak into you, and let that really describe for you what life is supposed to be like. But a lot of times for me, I read that verse and I'm super cynical about that. I'm like, Jesus can't give me real rest. What are you talking about? Christianity makes it harder for me. This stuff is burdensome. This stuff is tough. And it's easier a lot of times. It's way easier for me to resort to an addiction in my life, to fall back on using people or using my busyness to try to give me some space between the difficult circumstances in my life, rather than actually dealing with them, rather than actually taking them to God and saying, "Here, God, I know you can give me real rest." I don't believe that. A lot of times, my big struggle with this is that I don't believe that God is bigger than my circumstances. I struggle with that. If I'm not bringing my emotions and my circumstances to God, I'm basically saying, "You know what, God, I can handle this on my own. I really don't need you." Or I'm saying, "You know, God, my circumstances are way bigger than you can handle." And that's what I struggle with a lot. I want real rest. I want Jesus to come in and say, "Hey, I'm gonna like lighten your burdens. I'm gonna give you rest." But oftentimes I resort to something like a 5-hour energy where I'm just white noise, distracting myself from that. And the people of Israel in the Bible were dealing with the exact same thing. They were distracting themselves or trying to get white noise in between what was really going on and their own lives. And so there's this moment for them, the Hebrew people, where God is bringing them out of Egypt, okay, out of slavery. And they're in the middle of the wilderness and they don't know what's going on. So they're terrified about their situation. They're afraid of what's to come or what's next. And they don't have food or water. They're out in the middle of the desert. And so God is trying to help them say, "Hey, trust me, I'm your provider. I'm the one who's going to give you rest." But you know what they do? They say, God, I don't believe you. So we're going to go off. We'd rather go back to Egypt. We'd rather go back to slavery than trust you with our insecurities, with our scarcity, with our finances, with our food. We would rather go back to the safety of the distraction in our life and the slavery in our life rather than face the music and work through the pain in our life and trust you. And so what happens is that they have several episodes where, you know, Moses is up on the mountain, their leader, talking to God. And what are they doing? They're worshiping another god. They're distracting themselves from what's really going on. They're trusting in this false god, the golden calf. And I relate to that. Instead of giving God the bitterness that I have, instead of giving God the stress in my life, I would rather use a distraction to prevent me from dealing with that. I'd rather hide from that. I'd rather run away from that. I feel like that's something deep within our human nature, is when something goes wrong, we're like, I gotta get out of here. I've got to run from it. And what I think God is speaking to us today is that in order to find healing, in order to really experience rest, he wants to draw us into that and provide us rest in that, which is a crazy concept. It's a hard concept, but it's something that if we want real rest and not just white noise, we have to step into that. And so the writer of Hebrews, a book in the New Testament, he's referencing Israel's history, where they used that white noise of the false gods and all kinds of other stuff to instead of dealing with God and what he wanted them to do, to say, well, we're just gonna distract ourselves. No thanks. We'd rather just have the white noise. We'd rather have the distraction. And this is what he says to them in Hebrews 4:6. He says, so God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. And it's like that disobedience is like when you know that God wants you to come to him and say, hey, I'm dealing with this issue. I'm dealing with this problem. And instead you say, actually, you know, I am going to deal with this on my own. I'm going to use my addiction. I'm going to rely on my coping mechanisms. I'm going to run from you instead of taking this to you. And we do that all the time. And they were doing that too. And so this is what he says to them in verse 7. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. And God announced this through David in the Psalms, much later in words that have already been quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, I don't know if you're a Christian today or how this works for you in your life, but I am, and a lot of times I will be, especially driving in my car, and I know God wants me to speak to me. I know he's trying to nudge me. I know he's trying to get me to deal with a fear of mine, a doubt of mine. And I just turn up the radio. I say, you know, I need to finish this podcast first. I want to finish my show first. I don't really want to deal with this. I'm actually going to go hang out with this person. And so I run from dealing with the thing that God is desperately trying to give me peace and rest from. And instead, I just use the distraction to mask that. And sometimes I just harden my heart and say, nope, God, I'm not going to deal with that right now. The same thing that the Israelites were dealing with, the same thing that the writer of Hebrews is trying to communicate, I feel like we do that all the time. We say, I don't want to deal with the difficult stuff in my life. I'd just rather push it out. And then he continues in verse 8, and he says, now if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. And he says this, so there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labor, just as God did after creating the world. And then it says this in verse 11, so let us do our best to enter that rest, but if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall. We will fall. And so just as the people of Israel are struggling with dealing with their circumstances and trusting God and saying, listen, we believe, God, that you will give us rest. They're saying, actually, I'd rather just trust in the distraction to give me rest. I'd rather trust in the white noise. And so instead of trusting God to provide them with security and rest, they've kind of created this barrier between them and God. But it picks up, I want to pick up in verse 14 where it starts talking about Jesus, and this is where the writer of Hebrews is trying to get them to go, and he's trying to get us to go. He's saying, look, there is this high priest Jesus. There is this person for us who God is trying to say, hey, you know that anxiety that you have? Hey, you know that difficulty you have in your life right now? Hey, you know how you're worried about that relationship that's falling apart? I want you to bring that to me. I want to give you peace about that. And so he's telling them, hey, don't believe in yourself. Believe in me that I can provide you that rest. And he picks up in verse 14 and he says this. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. That this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And I want to stop here and just remind yourself that if you're a Christian today, Jesus is God, is the image of God. He's God for us. And Jesus stepped down from heaven and came to us. And you know what he experienced? Depression, anxiety, fear. He had all of these people around him with expectations that they were putting on him. Some wanted him to be a king and a world leader. Some wanted him to shut up and were destined to make sure that he paid for what he said. He had enemies. He had falling out with friends and family members. He dealt with the stress of trying to follow God, but also love people and be with people. He dealt with all of these things. And in the right before he's executed, he's in the garden crying tears of blood because he is so like dealing with the emotion of realizing that he's about to die. So when we begin to think about, God, you just don't understand. No. We have Jesus who has understood all of the stress and all of the anxiety and all the difficulty that we think that we could have. And so God isn't up in heaven going, man, get your stuff together. Just pull it together. No, God empathizes with our pain and with our emotion and anxiety and the difficulty in our life. And so he is the one who can truly give us rest from all that. Not the distractions that we have, not the people in your life who say they know you, who say they know what's best for you, not even ourselves, that God fundamentally knows what we are going through and knows how to bring us true rest and true healing. The question is will we trust him with that? Will we trust him with our emotions? Will we trust him with and believe that he can truly bring us rest? Or are we going to continue to trust in the coping mechanisms and the white noise that we want to use to give us peace, to give us temporary rest, temporary break? And he finishes with this verse that hit it home for me this week. And it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And I don't know about you guys, man, but I am a person who needs that grace. I mess up all the time. I made a huge mistake at work this week on a job site. And I'm dealing with it and I'm so hard on myself, as I know many of you are. You deal with that sort of like, oh, you're such an idiot. You're so stupid. And in order for me to deal with that, I can do one of two things. I can block it out. I can turn it up, the white noise in my life. I can try to pretend like it's not there. Or I could say, hey, God, you know I struggle with this. Help me to understand that your grace is sufficient for me. Help me to understand that your power is made perfect in my weaknesses. Help me to understand that I am valuable not because of what I do, but because you are working in me and you can still use me despite my failures and despite my flaws and despite what's going on in my life. I need that, folks. So this is a message for me as much as it is for you, that we have this beautiful opportunity in our lives. Not that God isn't just waiting till we get to heaven, okay? God is with us right now and he's saying, do you want to enter the rest that I have for you? Or do you want to just keep like going through the motions and distracting yourself? And a lot of times church is white noise for us. We come to church and we feel better and we don't really open ourselves up to what God has to say to us. We're just caught in the motions. And I think what God's calling me to do, what God's calling us to do is be a people who are vulnerable enough to say, I'm stressed out. I'm dealing with all this stuff. I'm depressed. I'm suicidal. I'm going through this. My house is a wreck right now, and it's okay for things to be a mess, and I'm sorry that you have to walk through my kitchen that's a mess.
whatever it is, whether it be small or massive, can we get to a place where we can say, you know what, I'm not going to distract myself and pretend like everything's okay and just keep up with the Joneses, but I'm going to let God in and say, you know, I need the rest that you can give me. I need the peace that you can give me, because folks, I need those relief. I need that recovery in my life. I need that hope that can only come from God. There's nothing left in me at the end of the day. Have you ever stared in the mirror and go, I don't have what it takes? I think we all have to some extent, and if you haven't, I hope you have that moment, because the truth is that there is so much going on with tornadoes, shootings, and in our world, if you start to think about everything that's going wrong, you will have a mental breakdown, because you can't control everything. You can't do everything, and there's a lot of stress and anxiety around that, and what always helps me, and I don't always do that, what helps me, though, is to get alone with God and say, okay, put this all into perspective for me. Help me see what's important today. Help me know what is true about me rather than the lies I tell myself. And so often, I just use the white noise in my life to take care of those emotions. But what God really wants me to do is step into the uncomfortable situation of dealing with those emotions, but he wants me to find healing and rest within that. And so that's our challenge today. And I'm kind of thinking about this in a real way in regards to my own life. It's kind of related to white noise too. Like, if you want to get more sleep at night, right, you have to be willing to give up some of the activity you're doing in those hours you should be sleeping. I struggle with this all the time. I'm like, why am I so tired? And it's like, well, you're getting like 5 hours of sleep a night. And if you want to get more, you have to cut out some things that you do. And if we want to experience the rest that God has for us, you know, when that verse says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. It's not like a rest like that. You're just suddenly energized. It's not a caffeine shot. It's something to where God is going to help you peel back what's burdening you in your life, and it's going to take sacrifice. And so what we're calling you to do with this 15-minute protocol is say the most productive thing and the most beneficial thing you can do for yourself and for what God has for you is to just take 15 minutes and say, Lord, I'm here to listen. And that's so counterintuitive to what I know how to do. I'm like, I could do all kinds of stuff in that 15 minutes. But for me, busyness is my white noise. I use that so I don't have to think about the doubts that I have about myself, or I don't have to deal with the family member in my life. Oh, I'm too busy for that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to deal with that family situation. I don't have time to deal with this friend who's hurting. I'm too busy. It's a great way that I can just hide from the things that God wants me to deal with. And so I have to, and folks, did I do the 15-minute protocol this week? Absolutely not. I totally flopped that. This is a message for me. I need that. So what we're calling you to do is take 15 minutes out of your day and say, God, give me the rest that you have. Give me your perspective. And if you are interested, come on Thursday morning at 6. Like Brian said, week-to-week commitment. Carve out that time and say, okay, God, I know that you don't expect me to do anything that I can't do. You wouldn't give me that kind of expectation on me. So here's my time. What do you want me to do with it? Give me rest in this hour. Help me find perspective. Help me deal with the things that I'm dealing with. And out of that, I really, really believe that we were going to find the recovery that we need, the rest that we need. The break that we've been so longing for doesn't come through whatever we use as white noise. It comes from God. And so if you're still pretty skeptical today, that's cool. But this is what works for me when I use it. And so I want to share that with you today, that opening myself up and being reflective and saying, God, I'm dealing and struggling with this stress in my life. I need you to help me has been one of the most transformational things for me that I have ever experienced. And so if you would stand with us, we're going to close out today by praying together. And if God has spoken to you through this and you're thinking to yourself, man, I really do need to begin to take this to God, to turn off the white noise, then I encourage you, respond to it. If you don't come here to really deal with what's going on, you could do so many better things. You could be golfing right now. You could be watching that show on Netflix. You could be hanging out with your friends. You could be doing something else. But this is an opportunity, and this is a space where God can speak to us. So if you've got something going on, don't wait. Don't hide from it like we so often do. Don't mask it, but be willing to be vulnerable enough to say, as we should all be saying, God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to take this burden from me. I can't do it. There's not enough in the tank, but I know that you've got it. And there will be people here to pray with you. And maybe someone needs to pray with you. Maybe you need to be open to that. But I just want to pray this verse out of Romans. And I shared it first service, and I'll share it again. This is one of my favorite passages because it creates so much peace in my mind, and it reorients my perspective because the world stresses me out. It overwhelms me. But we get this space every Sunday to say, hey, God is greater than everything we have, everything we've got going on. And you have to declare that. You have to carve out time, or else that won't be true for you. Or else that won't be true for you. So let's pray and let's read together out of Romans 8, 31, 39. It says, what then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us everything we need? Who shall bring any charge, any complaint against God's people? It is God who justifies us. Who is to condemn us? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised for us? Who is at the right hand of the God? Who is indeed intercessing for us and bringing our needs on behalf of us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of this, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor people in this world, nor evil, nor height, nor depth, nor powers, nor principalities, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. This is our God who we have for us today. So go in God's rest and God's peace and really begin to open yourself up to what he has to say to us. God bless you. Thank you.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.